Hello? 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 Hello?
If you can hear this, it's not too late. I've returned to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel and pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
Oh no!
Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using our verbal modem screech as our guide. We will be your constants. I am Dez.
And I'm Ari.
And this is...
Time Pop. Yeah.
All right. So this is our third installment, which puts us only halfway through this experiment.
Yeah.
Our Terminator experiment. And is this your first time seeing this one?
Yes. First time seeing Terminator 3.
Rise of the Machines.
Yep.
I guess we'll jump in. We'll just do this in order because I know I have some stuff to say, but most of it's, I think we're going to be okay. This is kind of my big test.
Okay.
We have a new fan in the studio because this hot box gets warm. And so we'll see. It creates a steady hum, which is usually easy to take out. This is going to test my technical skills, no doubt about it. So I'll jump into the facts and we'll breeze through the overview most likely.
Yeah.
And then we'll get into some time travel fun. Funkiness. We watched Terminator Rise of the Machines, released July 2nd, 2003. It is 109 minutes, rated R, directed by Jonathan Mostow. So I tried to connect him to this movie or to this franchise, this podcast, any way I could. He directed Surrogates, which stars Bruce Willis. So there we're back to Looper and 12 Monkeys. He directed the pilot of The Last Ship, which is a show I was actually interested in and just another one of the many shows that I fell off of because I only have so much time in my life. But that was an interesting little post-apocalyptic look at the world. And I didn't dig into this very far, but it's just mentioned he got a special thanks on Donnie Darko. So I don't know what he did there, if he ran coffee or had some time travel thoughts that he handed over to the director or what, but they gave him a shout out in that. So that's interesting. Written by John Brancato and Michael Ferris. I'm mentioning this just because we're off of the James Cameron train for this, just letting everyone know who's...
And you could really tell it felt very different than the first two.
This reeked of a movie that was written for a different purpose. And then someone said, hey, you know what? If we throw some time travel at the front of this, this can be a Terminator movie. It felt like it was almost ham-fisted into a Terminator film, but we'll talk about it later. It was not. This movie was very purposefully the third installment of the Terminator series. But the writers, a perfect combination for this writers. They wrote the movie The Game, and they wrote a couple Married with Children episodes, which I felt this was a perfect, almost well-written caper with some boob jokes. So... But they've been practicing for this script their whole life. Starring Claire Danes, who I need more of her in my life. I didn't realize that Homeland is on its ninth season and she's starring in that. So she's working plenty, just not in something I'm paying attention to. From My So-Called Life. And if you haven't seen Temple Grandin, I highly recommend it. It's a true story about a woman with autism. I don't think she calls that. I don't think she calls it that. I don't remember what. But she plays the titular Temple Grandin.
That's right. Yeah, it's a good movie.
You have seen it?
Yeah, I have. She's great in that.
So good. So good. I watched that in psychology class and... It's so wonderful. Nick Stahl, our new John Connor, he's been working a lot too, and he has 6 things in production right now. So he's working hard and continuing to do so into the future. Not slated for T6, not surprisingly. Arnold, became governor 3 months after this movie came out. I was wondering when I saw 2003, I was like, was he in there? But no, this was probably still in some theaters, in some second run theaters when he was sworn in as governor of this great state that we sit in right now, of California. I didn't vote for him, wasn't a Californian citizen. Not to say that I wouldn't have, but who knows what I would have done in 2003. But Christina Loken, our TX, she has been in a Star Trek Voyager episode, and she lost out in 2004. She lost the sexiest she-villain award for the MTV Movie Awards to none other than Demi Moore for her portrayal in Charlie's Angels Full Throttle. So, different time. I think that award has been put away. No more she-villains. The critics liked this more than the audience did. The critics on Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 69. It's fine. Nothing to pass up. The audience gave it a low score of a 46. And they were driven to the theaters by the critics because this movie, let's see, I think Terminator 2 made like $550 million. I'm just throwing numbers out. This made like $420 million. So this movie did very well in the theater. I just had to throw up some awards because I wanted to. I assume this might be up for some raspberries or not. But in 2003, we were just, you know, it was 9/11 was still fresh in our minds, and we just wanted to escape. And this movie provided that. It won the California On Location Award, which is an award I can't believe exists. And I can't believe this got it, because I'm pretty sure the opening of this movie takes place in a backlot on Universal Studios. I don't think they actually had to hunt very far. And then they just had to find someplace to destroy during the big car chase. Like, they had to find some back streets to blow up. But good job, Leon Emmert. Oh, it did win. Unfortunately, James Cameron got this award, but I guess it's his fault for passing the baton and getting too caught up in Titanic. The Worst Trilogy Award from the Yoga Awards. I don't know what that is.
Meaning all three movies count as the trilogy?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not fair.
That's how bad this movie was.
It drug
the first two down from their post. Those are all the facts I have. Ari, what happened?
So this movie, does it say when it's supposed to take place? Does it say it's supposed to take place in 2003?
2004, I think.
It's supposed to take place in 2004. Okay.
Yes.
So it's 2004, and based on the previous movie, they have prevented all of the bombs going off in 97. So based on the last movie where they destroyed the chip and the arm in the lava, they prevented all the bombs from going off. But... But there's a big but. So the movie starts out. Excuse you.
Sorry about that. That was way louder than I thought. Beverage opened.
This movie starts off just like the other movies, where pretty much right away someone's being sent back in time. We start off with the latest model of the Terminators, the TX, appearing. And with each movie, the effects of the time travel seem to get better. So the effects of this time travel were, you know, the sphere appears and it's kind of translucent, and then it kind of destroys what's around it, and then it makes like a metal ball with like different hexagon grids, and then it just disappears and the Terminator appears.
Which I think is shown, and it may be because of whatever they were deciding to do in this movie, they again retrofitted it in the next movie. I think when they get into the machine in the future, it's kind of a metal cage like we see the outline of here.
Yeah.
So whether that was written in with that idea or they just crammed it in later, it does end up working well in the whole scheme of things.
Yeah, I love how the female Terminator appears naked, of course, right in the middle of a dress shop. She's like in LA and she like destroys the front of a dress shop with mannequins and stuff. And so she could have turned around and just taken some clothes, but instead she walks up to some lady in a car who kind of looks like her and says, "I'm going to take your car and your clothes." And I think she probably killed her.
I like your car.
I like that car. Yeah. You got to see some booty, right?
We did.
Terminator style. You got to see a little bit naked booty this time. It was a female.
Got the long hair just to cover up the frontal.
Right. So then we see her start to kill some random people, people other than John Connor. And they're all young-ish people. They look like they're in their early 20s. And then we see Arnold appear. Where does he appear? He appears like outside. Again, it's outside of like, he ends up going to a bar. Same as last time. He ends up going to a bar, but this time it's like ladies' night at the bar and he walks in naked and they all think he's one of a stripper. And he gets the same leather outfit. He finds one of the other strippers who are, you know, the same size as him and takes his clothes. So, I mean, that's not original. It's the same exact thing.
They tried to change it.
Was it the same bar? Did they make it try to seem like it was the same exact bar?
Oh, you know what? I didn't notice, but I wouldn't be surprised. That would be something this movie would do.
Yeah.
Like, it's 10 years in the future and now this biker bar is...
Yeah. But that makes you question that the Terminator that got sent back in the last movie, all he got destroyed. So all his knowledge and information did not get uploaded, let's say, to the Terminator in the future that got sent back for this movie. Unless John Connor programmed him.
No.
Yeah.
Why is that? You think that he was smart enough to go over to a bar?
There was one scene where he gets in the car and he flips down the visor for like the keys to fall out and instead something else falls out. I forget what it is, like sunglasses
That's
or something.
Right.
So they kind of made it seem like he had the same knowledge, but there's no way he could have. But then later on in the movie, John was like, you know, like, hasta la vista, baby, remember? And the Terminator says, I'm not that same guy. So I don't know if they meant to do that or...
That's right. Because, I remember when he pulled down the visor, I remember thinking, oh, something got uploaded into the network and he remembers some of it. But then they make... Because I think this one's even called an 850. It's not an 800.
Yeah, it's a little
bit. It's an 850.
Yeah. So then one of the people that the female Terminator, the TX, is trying to kill is a woman named Claire Danes.
Brewster. Kate Brewster.
Well, the actress.
Yes.
Well, Claire Danes.
Yes.
And her character name, I'm not going to remember, so we're just going to call her Claire Danes.
That's fine with
me.
Yay.
Yes. Okay. She's one of the people who she's trying to kill, and we later find out that these people that the female Terminator is trying to kill are all officers of John Connor in the future that help him to defeat the robots in the future, so they think, hey, let's also kill all these other people so that when the future happens, you know, they can't help. So there's, in true Terminator fashion, lots of fight scenes, lots of chase scenes, like some seriously destructive car chase scenes.
Yeah, they had to kick up the semi scene from T2 up 25 notches for this one.
Like a fire engine's involved and a crane thing, and they go through a building. And
that was the one other award they did win. They did win best action sequence for the champion crane chase.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, they seriously destroyed all those cars.
There was
no computer generated images in that scene. They destroyed all those cars, like that building probably. There's a lot of money into that.
That's right, because we were laughing at some of the computer generated effects later, but I forget that whole scene. They were smashing stuff up big time. Yeah.
So the Claire Danes character, her father is a high up person in the Air Force, and he is in charge of defense stuff. You see him in a room with all the controls and all the people, and there happens to be a virus happening right now. Just all of a sudden, they're like, hey, there's a virus.
Well, it's uploaded by TX, I'm pretty sure.
What's
the Terminator?
She uploads it?
Yes.
I missed that.
It's a
completely.
Little. I don't feel like they really hammer it home, but it shows her infecting a lot of computer stuff, and so I think we're to assume that she's uploaded something that is. She only had to do one quick upload, and then it's been proliferating itself from that moment.
Yeah, I wonder, because I was wondering where the virus came from.
Yeah, they don't. You're right. It's not very. At least that's the idea I got.
Okay.
She brought it back with her to get this whole thing in motion again, because since Judgment Day was put off in 97, this is them trying to kickstart.
Okay, so there's a big hole right there. So we'll come back to that. If it never happened, you know, then how come there are robots in the future and she has to go back to start it for her existence to even happen? Anyway, we'll talk about about it later. So
yeah, we will.
So I'm not fully sure that she started this virus. It makes sense because they don't really explain. Just all of a sudden there's a virus that's infected every possible computer.
Worldwide.
And everything's offline. And this TX Terminator does have the ability to manipulate all machines. And she even takes like a cell phone at one point and connects to the internet and like looks up something. And so Claire Danes' father, the military guy, is getting pressure from the government to fix this. And they think the way that it's going to be fixed is with a computer program that they have called Skynet. Now, my question, here's a big hole. We can talk about this later if you want. I thought they got rid of Skynet.
We'll talk about it. We can get into it. I mean, there's not much of this. We can kind
I'll finish.
Plot our way through this.
The other major bits. So yeah. Apparently the Terminator that comes back, the Arnold Schwarzenegger
Termitimator.
Yeah, he was sent back by John Connor's wife, who happens to be Claire Danes' character. So he lets John Connor know that, hey, this is your future wife. And of course, at first he's like, what? No, she's not even my type. And Claire Danes in this movie even has like a fiance, and he ends up getting killed. So the way that they acquired this particular Terminator, and I just think it was an interesting idea. That's why I'm going to throw it out there. I don't know if it's super important for the story, but this Terminator was built by the machines in the future. He is an 850. Is that what it was?
I think so.
So the 800 was the original Arnold. Yeah. And then, so they made an 850, and they specifically made it look like Arnold because they knew somehow that in the past movie, John Connor connected with Arnold and was like a father figure. So if they thought that if they made the next robot that they sent in to kill him look like Arnold, he would be able to get to him. And lo and behold, it worked. So this Terminator successfully killed John Connor. He was captured, though, by probably John's wife and other people, reprogrammed and then sent back in time to protect John Connor. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I've forgotten. I spaced out on that. So thank you for reminding me.
So, and the Terminator tells all this to John and to Claire Danes. And, you know, is that her name, right? Claire Danes? Am I saying that?
It's Claire. I always say Clara. I don't know why.
But it is Danes.
Yes. Okay. Yes, the Danes is right.
Okay. I don't know why I'm second guessing myself on that. So the other important facts for the story that I guess you need to know is they decide to use Skynet, a program that I guess the military was developing, an artificial intelligence software, they're going to put it online, and it is going to find this virus and it is going to attack it and beat it. And they're questioning it. Claire Danes' father, he questions it. He's like not sure if he should use it or not, but then he gets the call from the government people, and they say, well, yeah, it's something along the lines of like, if we use Skynet, it will become what's the word?
Sentient.
And he like knows that, and then he said we won't have control over it. And then the government people is like, well, you have control over Skynet, and Skynet will have control over our military weapons. That's what it is. They're afraid that Skynet's going to have full control over their military weapons. And they say, well, you're going to have control over Skynet, so then what's the problem? And he got pressured essentially to turn this on, but he's very hesitant. He didn't want to.
The final thread was, they said, if this works, you get all the funding you ever dreamed of.
Oh, yeah.
So whatever his next phase is, they get him to, he's very reasonable about this in the beginning and just not comfortable with it. But
yeah, so they turn it on, and just like in all the other movies they talk about, the minute they turned it on, it became sentient and it basically said, okay, we're going to launch all the nukes in like 6 hours. It like gave them a time.
Not even that.
Yeah, 3 hours.
Yeah, it was very short.
So they lost control of all the computers.
Well, I think we just know that as viewers because Arnold knows when it's going off. I think Skynet is still just, they just know something's not right.
Yeah. So, but they launched the AI, the Skynet, and it takes over all computers all over the whole world. It takes control of like these new, the T1s, essentially. You see the first original T1. They just look like big
Johnny Fives with rocket launchers.
Yeah, but they can fly. And so those things start shooting up and killing everybody. And so John Connor and Claire Danes decide, we got to stop this. We got to go, you know, let's go to my father and figure out how we can stop this. And they find her father. He essentially gets killed, but but he has, he tells them that he has the codes to destroy the supercomputer, the main supercomputer that's in this other location in the desert on, in somewhere. And if you go there with these codes, and he gives them like a red folder, if you go there and destroy the supercomputer, you could stop this from happening.
Yeah.
So they, Claire Danes and John Connor, you know, meanwhile, the TX is chasing them and destroying them and fighting Arnold and big fight scenes, and there's a big magnet and she melts, but she comes back and she can do some pretty badass stuff. So they get to this bunker in the desert, and it's like an underground bunker, and they slowly realize that there is no supercomputer. It's like old computers from like the 60s and 70s, and it's basically a military government underground safe house bunker. And they slowly realize like there is nothing here. We can't do anything. And then Claire realizes we can't stop this. My father sent us here to survive the blast that's about to happen in like 20 minutes or something. And our main goal is just to survive. And this is inevitable and we cannot stop it. Am I forgetting anything?
No, I'm just being reminded that it was Dad's idea to send him to that bunker because it worked perfectly for Arnold because that's basically what he wanted to do. Where was Arnold going to take them to begin with?
He was going to take them south to Mexico and John...
Oh, just out of the blast range.
Yeah.
That's right. That's
and
right.
And John and Claire Danes was like, no, let's go to my father. He controls this thing. We can shut it down. We've got... At that point, they had like 2 or 3
and
hours.
And he knew since he developed the software that there was no stopping it, that this was now
the
this
father knew. Yeah.
Yeah. This computer is now running things. And my only hope is to get my daughter to a safe place because the end is nigh. And Arnold, being from the future, knows where Dad is trying to send them and just gets on board.
Yeah. And there was one other thing that they put in there. They talked about Claire Danes' character and John Connor went to middle school together and they had their first kiss at some party together, and then the very next day is when the second movie was supposedly took place where the Terminators got sent back. She's like, yeah, we had our first kiss and then you disappeared and, you know, you were in the news and your foster parents got killed and then you disappeared. And they had mentioned another thing about, oh, I was supposed to meet your father back then, or I would have met your father back then, but then it all happened. But now I'm meeting him, you know, for this movie now, so it was inevitable. It was supposed to happen. I was supposed to meet your father. He said something along those lines. So yeah. Basically, this was all meant to happen. In this universe, it makes it seem like the bombs are gonna go off. There's nothing you can do. They prolonged it a few years, but inevitably the bombs still went off. So that's the overview. There are some holy, holy hole holes. So let's talk about them.
We'll start there and we'll dig ourselves out of these holes.
So the first question is, in the second movie, in T2, they destroyed the chip and they destroyed the robotic arm, right? They melted it in the lava thing. So how did Skynet still become a thing?
So this is where I think my thoughts at the end of T2 might... I still don't know how to explain. I still don't know the type of time travel I'm trying to explain. But even though you change John Connor's present in 1995, you do not change John Connor's present in 2029.
Meaning it's a different timeline.
Not if they can then send back Terminators 5 years later and still intersect with this timeline.
Well, that brings up hole number two. If they prevented this thing from happening, but yet in the future it still happened, but in order for it to happen, like you said, in this movie, potentially the TX came back and started the virus, which allowed them to launch Skynet. So that there's my
Well, hole. If you can time travel, this is all happening simultaneously.
Okay.
So while you're in 2029 sending Terminators back to 1995, at that exact same moment, Claire Danes in 2023 is sending a TX back to 2004.
So in that sense, it has to be multiple timelines.
But not if they intersect. How is it multiple time? If you now you can intersect by going back further. Like if every time they went back further and tried to pick up Sarah Connor, then it could be multiple timelines and they keep going back to before the timeline split. But if it's multiple timelines, then they wouldn't have split in 1984, correct?
So you think this is one timeline?
I think it is one timeline.
Okay.
But it's a single timeline that doesn't fall to the effects, to the butterfly effect. So I don't know if it's single. I feel like this is a universe. I'm thinking about this in real time. Sorry, everybody. Where everything is happening simultaneously.
Okay.
So even though it's a single timeline, it doesn't fall prey to the butterfly effect, because if it's all happening at the same time, then all these movies happen in the same moment of universal existence. So therefore, when everything is destroyed at the end of Terminator 2, Terminator 3 is still happening.
So if you think about it like a piece of string or a river, if it was truly one timeline, if you stop the river, if you truly stop the river at one point, there is no more water. It changes the rest of the river.
Right. And I don't believe that.
Okay.
I think you drop a pebble in, and pebbles don't sink immediately. They kind of float along a little while until they sink. And then after it sinks, after that pebble hits rock bottom and doesn't go any further, everything beyond it is unchanged by your effects.
So the way that I thought about it for how did Skynet still get created was, and they did not explain this in this movie. They just said, yeah, we'll turn Skynet on and it'll fix everything. They I mean, unless I'm wrong, I'm pretty sure they did not explain it. So I took it as there were a lot of people working on Skynet in the second movie, right? They did blow up the lab and they did kill the main scientist guy, but there were possibly a lot of other people that escaped with the knowledge of
had a laptop that they took home from work that didn't get blown up that day.
So I took it as some information still got out to create this Skynet. That's how I took it. So in a sense, all that effort in the second movie was for nothing. It was for nothing.
I like the way you said it better. You said it way more distinct than I. Someone just took a thumb drive home.
Yeah.
which makes perfect sense. Yeah. Because not like the government's just, or the military's just going to cease exploratory means of destruction just because this one way was sidetracked.
Right. So someone still created this artificial intelligence software. Now, I kind of wish if we can look it up somewhere to find out if the TX did actually plant the virus for them to launch the Skynet, because that's pretty significant, because that right there is a bootstrap paradox. In order for their future to happen the way they want, they had to go back and start it. Or whether it was just this random virus that happened to come along and they decided to use Skynet to try to fix it, which then created all the bombs to go off, which created the post-apocalyptic future.
I'm going to cheat and look at the Wikipedia plot real quick. Yeah, I think you might be right. I think it's just a random virus, and they know this virus is going to be there from the future. And so they use that knowledge from the future, like, well, this is our in. We'll go back.
No.
In the film, the character to activate Skynet to stop an anomalous computer virus of unknown origin from the invading servers worldwide. He is unaware that the virus is actually Skynet establishing control over them.
So the virus is Skynet?
Yeah, like they had Skynet on the server, but hadn't turned it fully on yet. And so, yeah, I guess we're not sure. And it doesn't, the virus is actually Skynet establishing control over them. So who knows? Did she come back? These movies seem so friggin' straightforward. And then we start talking about them. There's always, but I guess that's kind of because they're action movies. And so I think they gloss over some of this stuff a little quickly. Are you on Wikipedia or you find another?
Yeah, I'm just searching.
I tried to look up T3, but T3 is like some terrible virus, like actual real virus. So let's just talk. We'll get into this more with the rest of the movies. But up until now, I want to talk about the timeline. And it's not, you know, other than us getting into what kind of timeline it is, single timeline, how all this stuff exists. It's actually fairly solid, except for all the retroactive stuff that the writers and directors tried to do. So yeah, there was, I found a screenshot that John Connor was definitely supposed to be 10 years old in Terminator 2. But in this movie, he tells Arnold, when I met you at 13, and he talks to Claire Danes about being 13 at that party. John Connor was born February, they should have made him born February 29th. Why'd they make him born February 28th? 1985. So 2029, Terminator, the Terminator is sent back to 1984. 2030, T-1000 and the Terminator are sent back to 1995. In 1997, the original Judgment Day doesn't go off as predicted. And then in 2032, John Connor dies. And in 2033, that Terminator and TX are sent back to 2004 for this movie right here. And it gets pretty rough after this, so I'll save it until we actually watch the movie and I have a solid point. But up until this point, it's just three very simple time traveling movies. All these movies take place in less than 48 hours. So far we've spent less than a week in the Terminator universe, believe it or not.
Yeah, as soon as the Terminator gets sent back, they're trying to kill right away. And it's within, yeah, like a day, 24 hours. I don't think they had a single night.
Yeah, this one's even less. And I feel like they try, and again, when you're talking about time travel, everything in the future should be happening instantaneous. But I feel like these movies happen so fast because if they don't get it done, then more Terminators are going to be sent back and all hell's going to break loose. So I think they send them back with the express purpose of getting it done quickly. I'm just going to get in some random stuff right now for my notes. The drive-thru is backwards in this movie. That was a little thing that drove me nuts. When she kills one of her targets, so she comes back to kill eight people. And they're all soldiers or lieutenants or something in John Connor's army. And one of them is working the drive-thru and she pulls up to the drive-thru window and she is not, she's on the driver's side and she is opposite where the drive-thru window is. And I looked closely, I was like, well, maybe she just drove through backwards. She did not. They just set that whole situation up backwards. How'd you like the licking DNA scanning? How'd that sit with you?
That's pretty advanced technology right there.
She's got quite a database on her.
Yeah.
I liked how I was watching this again with Will, and you know, he's always like, well, why don't they just, he can end any movie in under 2 minutes with why don't they just, and so this movie gets around that fairly quickly by damaging her plasma arm that is basically a Terminator killer, and this movie ends very quickly as she's shooting Terminator disabling rockets out of her arm. John Connor died on the 4th of July in 2032. So a whole different reason to celebrate Independence Day. Not that he's dead, just a good old army funeral always brings people together. So I guess it kind of sits properly in this timeline that they thought they put off Judgment Day, yet the future wasn't changed. So this movie, the whole point of this movie was you can't change fate.
Right. So what is supposed to happen will happen no matter what you do. You may prolong it, but you will never stop it, is the law of this story. I thought it was an interesting bit where they talked about Sarah Connor's death, where she had, was it leukemia?
Yeah.
Which is what is like bone cancer?
Yeah.
She had leukemia and was supposed to die within 6 months, but held on for 3 years till 97 to make sure that the bombs didn't go off. It was interesting.
I feel like this movie ended this way. If you're going to cap off a trilogy, and let's say it is only one timeline, if you fix the future, then the first two movies never happen. Do you think that's why they ended this with a, you can't change anything because we don't want to retroactively make the first two Terminators not exist anymore?
I mean, it's interesting. Yeah. The decision to have the bomb still go off and think that maybe this would be the last movie of the trilogy. Mm-hmm. It's almost like ending with an unhappy ending. I feel like if they had succeeded, let's say, because in the second movie, they thought they had succeeded. And even in the beginning of this movie, they were like, yeah, my mom lived till 97. We fixed it. It's fine. Even though he thought he had a sense that it wasn't fixed. So I feel like maybe if they did that again, it would have felt like anticlimactic. I don't know. I kind of liked the fact that they didn't succeed and the bomb still went off. But it also closes the loop. I don't know if that's the right word, but in order for them to have sent somebody back, it had to have happened. Because if they had won, then in my theory of the timeline, if they had won, if they had prevented Skynet from existing or prevented the bombs from going off, the future would have never happened. Therefore, they would have never been sent back to have all of this happen, at least in the third movie.
Especially if it all still rests on John Connor. Because if John Connor doesn't make it to the bunker, if he dies, then even if there is a resistance that rises up, it's not John Connor, so therefore you don't send anyone back to save Sarah Connor. And so, yeah, that was at least my best guess, because this whole trilogy up until now has been the future isn't set, and then this movie ends with. But, I mean, she killed a bunch of the soldiers, so that's still, you know, the captain is going to survive, but he's going to be out with apparently some of his major lieutenants.
Yeah, she killed like 3 or 4 of them?
I think we saw 2.
Maybe
3, because I think there was a brother and sister.
Yeah.
And so we can only assume she got to the sister after. And this really was, I mean, all of them are, but this one even more so was just an action movie. You know, they tacked on as much Terminator lore as they could,
mm-hmm.
but they really wanted to destroy some shit in this movie.
Yeah.
And they got a woman in there to mix things up. And she was no Robert Patrick. Like, she was fine, but she was trying to do something that...
Who's she?
She's the TX.
Oh.
I don't know what... I mean, I guess she's an advanced model, so maybe what I was seeing was just her having actual thoughts and ideas go along, as opposed to Robert Patrick's very robotic thing. Yeah, I guess we're just going to continue on this Terminator train. This is getting tied in a hell of a knot.
So the next movie is the Christian Bale movie. And correct me if I'm wrong, but it's not a time travel movie. It all takes place in the future.
I don't know.
So if it is actually not a time travel movie, are we still going to watch it and review it?
Well, I'll take a closer look at the next two. I can't even remember if Genesis.
No, Genesis is. I watched the trailer for it.
I'll definitely watch. Watch it. I'll watch. I don't know if you're going to watch it anyway.
Yeah, just I'll probably watch it anyway.
This loop.
Yeah.
So I think we've already got more meat off this bone than I thought. So this will be a standalone episode itself. And then I think if nothing else, we'll do a quick overview of T4 before we really dig into T5. And then those will just be one episode.
Or a quick overview of T5 when we do, or sorry, T4 when we do T5.
Is that what I said? Did I not say that?
Is that what you said?
I tried to.
Okay.
Who knows what I said? We're going to watch them all, folks, just because we're working our way up to Dark Fate. I feel like there's more I want to talk about this, but I think it'll come out because it's going to be... I watched a few YouTube videos trying to piece this whole timeline together. And even they say in all the videos, they get past the third one and they're like, strap in, because here's where it gets really weird. So I decided to turn most of those videos off, watch the next movie or two, and then crank it up. And we'll really... Maybe that's what our T4 episode will be, a little bit about the movie and more about us unraveling the Terminator timeline.
Cool.
In general, because I need a full download with you over all of this and what kind of timeline we're dealing with. And I don't like to get too many other people's input because I don't want it to infect my brain, but I need some more input in what other people think this is doing. And if you out there, if you have any ideas, let us know. Get in on in here, help me untie this knot. Tell me I'm an idiot and I just don't get it. Tell me something.
Judgment Day is inevitable.
Pardon me as I take a little information break. I'm going to try to get in the habit of doing these as I edit instead of live, because since we don't always release our episodes in order, I'm always hesitant to discuss what may or may not be coming up the following week. But since I tend to edit them a little bit closer to release time, I can use this as an opportunity to tell you what's coming next in case you want to actually watch these movies if you haven't seen them, or maybe it's been a while and you want them fresh in your head for next week's release, or however you would like to choose to use this information. It is up to you. So next week we are going to be doing Futurama Bender's Big Score, which should be a lot of fun. As always, Futurama does science pretty well. It's a fun little movie, technically. It was released as a movie, but it's kind of hard to find in that form unless you want to pay a little bit extra. But I believe it's season 6, episodes 1, 2, 3, and 4 is the movie Bender's Big Score, just broken down into episodic form. If you would like to watch that and join us next Wednesday for Futurama's Bender's Big Score. And then the following week, we will be continuing on with our tea party. And we're still not sure how we're going to handle Terminator 4, as there's not a lot of time travel things to talk about. I don't think I'm doing this in order. I'm trying not to get too ahead of myself with research and all that into the Terminator universe. So we'll see. We'll definitely do an episode in place. We'll discuss Terminator 4 to some degree. If there's really not a whole lot of time pop things to discuss, then we'll just kind of dig into the whole TCU as it is and maybe unpack this whole timeline before we do 5 and then launch into 6. Because again, I'm not doing too much research as I go along, but I think 6 is going to erase 3, 4, and 5. I do believe. I'm not sure. They may pick and choose a few things to grab a hold of, but there's a good chance that T6 is really T3 proper. But we'll find out. I know a lot of you out there already have the answers to this. If you'd like to get ahead of this conversation, please feel free to send us some questions or comments or guesses for what you think is going to happen in Dark Fate. That would be great. We would love to throw some hypotheses out there. And see what happens. If you would like to join the Terminator conversation or any other conversation that's been going on or will be going on, before you contact us, I would like to thank you for listening to Time Pop. Hopefully, if you've made it this far, it is because you have enjoyed the program. Please like and subscribe to Time Pop and tell a neighbor or friend about it so you can enjoy a discussion of your own on the topic of time travel. You might even find a friend to watch some of these movies with. If you would like to add to the podcast conversation, please email us at timepop9216@gmail.com. That is timepop9216. And tell us your thoughts about this or any other version of time travel and how you might use it. And definitely let us know about a time travel movie, book, game, etc., that we might discuss on a future episode. And if you would like to start your own discussion on this topic, please head over to Face Insta Twitter Book. We are at TPOP9216. That is at TPOP9216. And if you just want some, you know, if you don't want to add to those conversations, please feel free to subscribe. I love to just throw up pictures on Instagram, silly questions on Twitter, and inane questions on Facebook. And you can laugh at those and tell me I'm way off base or what have you. Also, check out soundsawesome9216.com. That is soundsawesome9216 to hear what else sounds awesome. I am currently working on some more shows to add to that network, so please stay tuned. And now, back to the big finish.
Judgment Day is inevitable.
Thank you for enjoying this ride with us, everyone. This started out as just a fun, hey, let's watch Terminator. It's a classic. We'll get in, we'll get out, we'll move on to something else. And I, you know, we got in just in time for, you know, Dark Fate coming out. And I'm enjoying this series.
Definitely.
Thank you for joining me on this ride, Ari.
My pleasure.
Until next week, I am Desmond McNeese.
And I'm Ariel Galah. Bye. Turn it. Yeah.